You want an offer you can't refuse?
Redonkulous Swag is back in full swing on Fourth Wall. With more designs than ever before, there's never been a better time to show your love for the regiment. After all, variety is the spice of life, and it's good to have a wide selection.
Sometimes it's a spread brown eye kind of night, sometimes it's girl on girl time.
Click on the link tree in the description or scan the QR code on the screen and you can pop in.
Ha! Gay!
To see our fun designs on everything from shirts to mugs to stickers to pint glasses, patches, laptop sleeves, hats, and more. Because everyone needs new clothes for the gay cruise, right? Just make sure you bring a straight friend to cover your six. Hey, what's up, you porky private piles? Leaving piles of poo like a bunch of amber turds. Welcome to
Rotten Roast
with two Richards in a car. Redonkulous.com. Make sure you like and subscribe because we have one hell of a letter for you today from Lifesave number 560. Back again with his wonderful style of writing. I love it when there's punctuation and it's easier for me to understand.
So you don't have to double depop stuff.
Yes. Yeah. Double depopping is not my idea of a good time. This one is called Navigating a Minefield, My Hard Lessons with Women in the U.S. Army, and How to Protect Yourself.
Yeah.
My guess is this is going to extend into the corporate world as well.
I think so.
Because women, whether or not they have an AR-15 or any form of sidearm in their hand, they tend to mostly function roughly the same.
And feelings.
Feelings.
Cigarettes and beer.
Cigarettes. I thought it was meth and dicks.
Well, that's, the lower class ones.
Bundles of sticks and slow motion gender reassignment surgery.
God!
All right. Are you ready to talk about a crucible forged in duty?
Yes.
All right. That's what he calls it anyway. The U.S. Army, a crucible forged in duty, camaraderie, and rigorous discipline, is often perceived as a brotherhood, a powerful bond formed through shared sacrifice and unwavering commitment. For many men, it's a path to purpose, a proving ground, and a source of profound personal growth. However, or should I say, but, my own journey through its ranks took an unexpected and deeply unsettling turn, transforming into a personal ordeal that felt at times like a horror story. You notice I enunciated that part.
Yeah, the horror.
Horror, yes. Yeah. There's a difference between a horror story and a horror story. This isn't a condemnation of women in the military. Their contributions are undeniable and vital. Instead, it's a candid account of my intensely negative experience, a spotlight on a dangerous dynamic I encountered, and a sharing of hard-won advice aimed at helping other men navigate similar potential pitfalls. It's a story that I believe every man entering or currently serving in the Army needs to hear and understand. Not like you had issues with, women in the military, right? Dina! Sorry.
Yeah, Colonel Dina. Yeah.
That always happens. She kind of just makes you want to retch, because she's a lich.
Yeah,
and well, a bitch, quite possibly a witch. If she was one of those nurses in the hospital, she might play baby switch.
I think she's 64 or 65 now, so hopefully the wall is completely cleaned her out.
Oh, at this point it's probably fell on her and started digging her own grave.
One can only hope.
My initial years in the Army were fueled by ambition and a sincere desire to serve with excellence. I was driven to prove my worth, to climb the ranks through hard work and dedication, and to make a meaningful contribution to my unit and the overarching mission. Early on, things seemed to align with this vision. I threw myself into my duties, followed orders meticulously, and consistently excelled in training. This positive trajectory, however, veered sharply and devastatingly off course when I was assigned to a unit where the female presence, rather than fostering the anticipated collaboration and teamwork, became the epicenter of a relentless, insidious threat to my career and well-being.
That's called the knitting circle command structure.
And really all you have to do to incur its wrath is just treat them like men. Isn't that kind of weird?
And be honest with them.
Yeah. Let's pretend that's not true.
Yeah.
Not that we've gotten numerous stories to this fact or anything, right?
Yeah. No,
right?
No.
It's a conspiracy theory.
It sure is.
The shift began subtly, with interactions I initially dismissed as mere personality clashes or miscommunications. But a disturbing pattern soon emerged. I became the consistent target of denigration, often cleverly disguised as playful banter, but laced with a palpable undermining edge. My professional competence, a cornerstone of my identity and value within the Army, was constantly challenged. This wasn't constructive criticism designed to improve performance. It was a calculated erosion of my standing through dismissive remarks and public belittling. Ideas I presented in meetings after careful consideration and preparation would be casually brushed aside, deemed unimportant or impractical, only to be lauded and adopted later when voiced by someone else, often a female colleague. My work, even when executed with meticulous detail and exceeding expectations, was subjected to hypercritical scrutiny, while mistakes made by others, particularly female colleagues, seemed to be downplayed, rationalized as minor oversights, or simply ignored altogether.
Absolutely correct.
Does this sound familiar to anyone else?
I've seen this firsthand. From what I'm hearing, he was results oriented, and the women who were in charge of him were process oriented.
Just take credit where credit is not due, right?
That happens all the time in the military.
Ugh, it's kind of amazing. It really is. And women love to accuse men of this.
Well, I spoke up in a meeting and they said it was dumb, and then some guy said it later and they all applauded.
Right.
It could be delivery.
Because there's a big difference between presenting an idea and automatically assuming you're the smartest person in the room, too.
No, women don't think that.
No, never happens. They don't feel overly entitled because they've been propagandized to believe there's a non-existent glass ceiling that they have to bust through, right?
And they all have an S on their chest.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
And men have a P on their chest for patriarchy, and a PP in their pants, which does all their thinking because they're all pigs. Well, hey, you see how the PP comes back?
Your penis is a weapon.
This wasn't about bruised egos or hurt feelings. That's always the cope, though. It's like, yeah. Well, your fragile male ego just can't handle it. But we all know who gets forged by rejection as opposed to being immediately crippled by it, don't we? Men are so used to rejection, it just rolls off our back like water off a duck. You reject a woman, you're going to live rent-free in that woman's head for decades.
For a long time.
Yep. Everybody calls her pretty in her DMs. Call her fat, she'll remember you.
That's right.
This was a deliberate and calculated campaign designed to erode my standing within the unit, to systematically isolate me from my peers, and to chip away at my confidence and self-belief. Rumors, often baseless and deeply damaging, began to circulate, whispered in corridors and break rooms. That's why we always say to stay away from the water cooler!
Well, it's called character assassination. Women are masters at that. They come pre-programmed when they drop out of the box.
Yeah, every dude who's listening to this right now who's ever been in a relationship that went south, they've never been character assassinated by their ex while they were still together. They'll tell everyone all of these fantasies, these sadomasochistic fetishes that they've concocted in their heads. They'll tell, down to the teller at the bank, they will tell them, just to try to rally people to their cause so that they feel justified in making your life a complete and utter misery.
I am shocked! Shocked!
My character, my integrity, and even my personal life became targets of subtle assassination through loaded glances, insinuation, and carefully crafted narratives spread through the unit's grapevine. I developed a hyper-awareness of being watched, judged, and consistently found wanting in the eyes of certain female personnel. It was a chilling realization. I was not just dealing with professional disagreements, I was facing a concerted, personal campaign against me. Because you're competent.
That's right.
And you probably made it very clear through your competence that you couldn't be swayed by...
Yeah. Oh, can you show me how to do this so I can take credit for it?
That's right. You don't fall victim to the Poussin.
The Poussin. Just because we've all been there, we can laugh at it. But when you're balls deep in it... I can turn right here. Not so much fun, is it?
Oh, no.
The psychological toll was immense. The constant drip feed of negativity created a toxic atmosphere that poisoned my work days, transforming my workplace into a psychological battleground, albeit a silent, insidious one fought with words, manipulations, and subtle power plays.
Women do this, and they destroy the culture at the job. They do this in the civilian world and in the military.
And then, they're shocked when other women don't want to work with them. And why? Because they create a culture like this wherever they go. It's not just in a co-ed environment. My morale plummeted. The anticipation of going to work each day became a source of dread, constantly bracing myself for the next veiled insult, the next undermining remark, the next subtle act of sabotage. I started questioning my own abilities, doubting my judgment, and feeling increasingly isolated and vulnerable within the very institution I had believed in. The camaraderie I had envisioned as a core tenet of military life was replaced by a gnawing sense of distrust and paranoia. The sense of belonging I craved was replaced by a feeling of being perpetually under siege. You know where else you find something like this? In a relationship where she's cheating, and you know it, but you can't prove it.
That's right.
You start to feel like you're insane, even though you're 1,000% in the right.
Yeah, you're standing right there watching it, but yet they're telling you it's not happening.
Yep.
Don't be that guy, gentlemen.
You remember when you were a kid and you play this game? Why do you keep hitting yourself? Why do you keep hitting yourself? Why do you keep hitting yourself? That's working and dating modern women in a nutshell.
You're right.
And then when it's an all-female environment, it turns into the slap game. There you go.
He's right.
The true horror, or horror, however, unfolded when these subtle attacks escalated into outright false accusations.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hang on. My nose is itching.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm shocked.
I'm telling you, if I didn't have the nanny cam in my office, the same thing would have happened to me.
Yep. With breathtaking audacity, I was accused of creating a hostile work environment, ironically by the very individuals who were actively orchestrating and perpetrating it. Always accuse the other side of what you're guilty of.
Democrats?
I'm sorry, was that... did you hear that?
I think, yeah, that was a backfire. Had to be.
Yeah, it must be. These accusations were intentionally vague and devoid of concrete specifics, relying instead on emotional appeals and distorted interpretations of my actions and words. A misinterpreted joke, a perceived slight in my tone of voice, a professional disagreement over tactics or strategy, all were twisted, weaponized, and presented as evidence of misconduct and harassment. It felt like they were meticulously constructing a case against me out of thin air, weaving a narrative of my supposed wrongdoing from the threads of everyday interactions.
But again, this is the character assassination, mm-hmm. right? This is feelings,
yep.
or that feeling of safety. They always fall, I don't feel safe. So you have to change every fucking thing so you feel safe?
Okay, we're gonna have to go with a big fuck off.
This is what happens when you have a society that has become so decadent that you no longer have real problems. So you have to weaponize bureaucracy, education, what have you, to convince people that words are violence, silence is violence, and your feelings are reality. And even when that's not the case, if you just screech and re-loud enough, you can still make it happen, as long as you have the right genitalia.
I have a larger than average vagina.
I'm just saying, like, leftists love the idea of diversity and a robust gay culture and free housing. So let's send them all to prison. You'll be just fine. You get three hots and a cot. The rest of us out here actually being productive will soak up all the good jobs, and you guys can circle jerk each other and sphincter bait yourselves to your heart's content.
Sphincter bait. You gotta text that to me. That's great. Sphincter bait.
I want to take my sphincter baitation class.
But if this has happened to you, military context or otherwise, comments below. The ensuing accusation process itself was Kafka-esque and deeply unsettling. Suddenly, I was on the defensive, thrust into the impossible position of having to prove a negative that I hadn't done what I was being accused of.
Yeah, it's hard to do.
Yeah. The fundamental principle of innocent until proven guilty seemed to vanish. The burden of proof inexplicably shifted onto me, the accused. The environment surrounding the investigation became incredibly hostile, amplifying the existing toxicity tenfold.
That's exactly how it runs in the military for any investigation. That's why women weaponize it against men in the military.
And in the civilian sector, all you have to do is point your finger at a man and yell, "Rapé," even if you've never met him, even if you just saw him making a delivery in his truck. Not like that's been in the news lately or anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck. But, you know, we still live in a patriarchy where men are given every advantage, right?
Right.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Women are oppressed because they can't get their way 100% of the time.
I felt like I was walking on eggshells, constantly censoring myself, meticulously analyzing every word, every action, fearing that any utterance or gesture, no matter how innocuous, could be misconstrued, twisted, and used against me. The freedom to simply be myself, to operate professionally and authentically, was completely eroded. And then what happens? When you go completely the other way and just ignore everybody and you just do your job and go home after that, they still try to claim that you're creating a hostile work environment because you're not being inclusive.
So you're damned if you do, and you're...
damned if you don't.
100%.
The command climate, unfortunately, did little to alleviate the situation. In fact, it seemed to exacerbate it. There appeared to be a prevailing sensitivity, a heightened awareness of gender dynamics within the military, which, while arguably well-intentioned in principle, often manifested as a reflective presumption of guilt against men in situations involving accusations from women. It felt as though due process was bypassed, or at least significantly curtailed, in favor of an almost automatic validation of the female perspective, regardless of the evidence or lack thereof. My attempts to defend myself, to present my side of the story, to offer context and counter arguments were met with skepticism, dismissal, and a palpable lack of genuine interest in the truth. I felt like I was being judged not on the actual facts of the situation, not on my conduct or my character, but solely on my gender, prejudged guilty simply for being a man in a dispute with women. What were we saying about how women claim that the reason why, like, well, you know, the rap pay rates would be higher if women weren't scared to come forward? Bullshit! The burden of proof should always be on the accuser. They are the ones alleging that something happened. But when a woman accuses you, magically, the burden of proof shifts to the accused, which is, what is that term that they loved to popularize in the 20s? Victim blaming!
Mm.
Oh. I was staring into the abyss of a potentially ruined career, facing the looming threat of disciplinary action, a stain on my record that could follow me for years, and feeling utterly helpless in the face of these fabricated accusations. The crushing weight of the false accusations, combined with the relentless negativity and the perceived systemic bias, was almost unbearable. I felt like my years of dedicated service, my commitment to the Army, my personal integrity were about to be completely undone by a carefully constructed web of fabricated narratives and gender-based assumptions.
See, he's assuming it was carefully constructed.
It was constructed slapdash out of feelings.
That's right.
And your command structure apparently is comprised of a bunch of pussies who are more worried about checking boxes than they are to investigating the truth.
Exactly. I couldn't have said it better.
This used to be the last meritocratic system.
Yep.
Wow.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. My dream of a fulfilling and honorable military career was crumbling before my eyes, replaced by a nightmarish scenario of injustice and professional destruction.
What he could have done is an Article 138 through the UCMJ to get access to the first general officer in your chain of command and let him fucking know that your unit is being run like a knitting circle. They'll do a command climate survey.
Boom.
And they'll come in and talk to all the soldiers. And if it is an emotional like beatdown from a bunch of chicks, more than likely they're gonna get a rehabilitative transfer out of the unit. That's just me and my opinion as a 33-year-old first sergeant or 33-year veteran and a retired first sergeant.
Yeah, I was gonna say, who do you think you're kidding? I'm 33.
Yeah.
I promise. At least that's what it says on Tinder.
Yeah. 33 is way in the rearview mirror for me now.
It should be called Cinder because you ladies have burned all your bridges and your fertility to a crisp.
Man, that's just mean. That's mean, man.
This is where the unexpected intervention of a command sergeant major, a figure I will keep nameless for obvious reasons, proved to be nothing short of a lifeline. Exactly what I desperately needed. He was a longtime friend of my father, having served alongside him in Germany during the Cold War. He was a man of immense experience, unquestionable integrity, and a deep understanding of the intricacies of Army life, including the potential for bureaucratic inertia, personal vendettas, and, most importantly, profound unfairness.
Thank God he had one of those sergeant majors.
Yeah.
They're becoming rare these days.
Rarer and rarer, just like common sense. Through his extensive network and reputation, he became aware of my precarious situation and immediately recognized the glaring injustice unfolding.
Here we go.
Crucially, the CSM didn't dismiss my concerns or brush them aside as mere interpersonal squabbles that I needed to man up and resolve. He listened intently, treated my account with respect and seriousness, and then, crucially, initiated his own discreet investigation.
Boom.
He saw through the fabricated accusations, recognized the manipulative dynamics at play, and understood the dire implications for my career if the situation was allowed to continue unchecked. Leveraging his considerable rank, his deep-seated respect within the command structure, and his unwavering moral compass, he became a powerful advocate on my behalf. He intervened in a way that directly circumvented the biased processes that were working against me, cutting through the red tape and the preconceived notions that threatened to swallow my career whole.
That is how a sergeant major is supposed to work.
And swallowing whole is something that those ladies in the knitting circle love to do.
And that's probably why you're in that mess you're in.
That's probably how they got to their current rank as well. Swallowing and offering their holes.
A bunch of horizontal stacking of dicks.
The CSM's actions were nothing short of miraculous. He saw potential in me that was being actively stifled and deliberately sabotaged. He understood the value of my skills and dedication and refused to let them be squandered by petty office politics and malicious accusations. He pulled strings, made strategic phone calls to key individuals in positions of authority, and ultimately secured me a coveted slot in Special Forces selection.
Yeah!
This was a monumental turning point, a dramatic shift in trajectory. Special Forces selection was and remains a grueling and highly competitive process, renowned for its rigorous standards, its uncompromising emphasis on competence, resilience, and unwavering teamwork. It was, in essence, a strategic escape route, a path away from the toxic career-ending environment I was trapped in and towards a more meritocratic, performance-driven world where my abilities would be judged on objective measures and not subjective biases.
Absolutely. That's called a rehabilitative transfer. Hooked him right up with one.
That's right. And if he didn't have that, if this CSM had not come to his rescue, the only other option would be, of course, administrative violence, which you can download along with the Working Man's Survival Guide for 50 bones. Click on the link tree in the Meat Gazer box. It's the third button down, and happy hunting.
Yeah!
Getting accepted into Special Forces selection wasn't just a career move. It was my escape, my salvation. It was a chance to wipe the slate clean, to start anew, and to prove my worth and capabilities in a completely different arena, and to finally leave behind the suffocating negativity and the baseless career-threatening false accusations that had plagued my previous assignment. Critically, at that time, the Special Forces community was a distinctly different environment in another way. There were no female Green Berets. This is absolutely not to suggest that women are incapable of achieving the rigorous standards required to become Green Berets, but simply to acknowledge that the prevailing culture and dynamic within the Special Forces community at that specific time was predominantly male. It was an environment singularly focused on mission accomplishment, demonstrable competence, unwavering professionalism, and a deep-seated sense of brotherhood forged in the crucible of shared hardship and relentlessly rigorous training.
If you want to have a military that can close with and destroy other militaries, you got to take the feelings out of it.
Yes. In a meritocratic system, there is no place for your feelings.
That's right.
When death is on the line, there is no place for your feelings unless you're talking about giving last rites. Other than that, you need
you're to done.
Stow that shit in your rucksack and get back to marching, you fucking rats. My experience in Special Forces proved to be transformative, a complete 180-degree turn from the toxic environment I had escaped. The pervasive focus shifted dramatically away from petty office politics, subjective judgments, and gender-based biases, and squarely onto objective performance and the uncompromising demands of mission success.
Yep.
Meritocracy wasn't just a buzzword, it was operational reality. My skills and abilities were judged not based on my gender, not based on someone's personal biases or preconceived notions, but solely on my verifiable performance under extreme pressure, tactical prowess, unwavering dedication to my team, and consistent ability to deliver results in the face of adversity. In this environment, my career flourished. I finally found the authentic camaraderie I'd always sought, the deep sense of purpose that resonated with my initial motivations for joining the Army, and the profound professional fulfillment that had been so cruelly and unjustly denied to me in my previous unit. Special Forces wasn't just a new assignment, it was a rebirth, a reclamation of my career, and a powerful affirmation of my potential within the U.S. Army.
And yourself.
It was a stark and powerful reminder that while the Army, like any large institution, can have its dark corners and internal battles, it also holds within it pockets of true excellence, meritocracy, and unwavering dedication to mission and to the value of the individual soldier. My journey, though harrowing, ultimately led me to where I belonged, a place where competence and character, not gender politics and personal agendas, truly defined a soldier's worth. We've said this before numerous times. A change in attitude can become the change that you want to see in the world.
That's why we do what we do.
Yes. You just got to be. You got to be that guy that you want to be when you look in the mirror. You know, even if you got to fake it till you make it, sooner or later, you might just become that guy by accident.
That's every sergeant major. They all start off fucked up. I mean, I know lots of guys that I went through basic AIT with that became sergeant majors, and they were a walking clusterfuck of buttholes.
There you go. Hell, man, some of the best, hardest working entrepreneurs and small business owners that you know were world class fucked ups at some point.
Yes.
One of the best handymen that we know is technically a convicted felon.
Correct.
But you know what? That dude is one of the hardest working guys that I know, and God bless him.
Yep.
Sometimes all it takes is 4 years in the Army or 4 years and big boy pound me in the ass prison to let you know what? Kind of don't want to keep going this way.
I fucked up.
Course correction 2 degrees to the left. All right, here we go. Looking back on those dark years, the lessons learned are stark and undeniably impactful. For men in the military today, especially in increasingly integrated environments, my story serves as a cautionary tale and a guide to navigating potential pitfalls. Here is what I wish I had known then and what I urge you to consider now. Okay, now this is the point in the video where you pour yourself a menagerie, get yourself a pad and paper, and pay close attention because this man is about to dispense 44 caliber wisdom.
Here we go.
It's going to be fantastic. Understand the shifting landscape. Now, this doesn't just apply to the Army. This is office politics in general. The military is evolving, and while integration is crucial and beneficial in many ways, it also introduces new complexities and interpersonal dynamics. Be aware that traditional power structures and social norms are being disrupted, and this can create both opportunities and vulnerabilities.
Deficits.
The more people from a diverse background get introduced into this environment who believe that meritocracy just isn't good enough, the more you're going to see the false accusation shuffle become popular.
Listen, you don't want that.
DEI really should be spelled IED, because it's going to explode our social structures from the inside out.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
Be hyper aware of workplace dynamics. Pay close attention to the social dynamics in your unit. Be observant of subtle power plays, cliques, and patterns of behavior. Recognize early signs of negativity or targeted denigration. Don't dismiss seemingly minor incidents as insignificant. They can be indicators of a larger, more insidious problem.
A man and a woman.
Ha! Gay!
Document everything. This is also in the Working Man's Survival Guide.
Yep.
This is crucial. Keep meticulous records of interactions, especially those that feel negative or undermining. Date, time, location, witnesses, what was said, and the context. This documentation can be invaluable if you find yourself facing false accusations or needing to defend yourself later. Emails, text messages, even notes in a journal can become critical evidence.
It's called building the record.
Yes. We talked about that in the webinar, that you were accused of something and all you did was you flipped through. Well, that's funny because I wasn't in work that day. Oops.
Yeah, that did happen.
Choose your words and actions carefully. In today's hypersensitive environment, what might be considered innocuous or even humorous in one context can be easily misconstrued and weaponized in another.
And often is.
Be mindful of your words, especially in writing. Avoid potentially ambiguous language, jokes that could be misinterpreted, or anything that could be twisted out of context. Maintain a professional demeanor at all times, even in informal settings. In fact, I would say especially in informal settings. Whoa. Never letting your guard down around these people who could potentially want your job or just for some reason feel like they're entitled to it. Yeah, that's why you stay out of the break room.
Well, I also, when I was in the military, I limited myself to those kind of interactions to very minimum.
Yeah.
Like if there's a family day, I literally show up for like the first 45 minutes to an hour, eat a hamburger, hot dog, shake some hands, and I'm fucking gone.
You know, there's two words that are extraordinarily tempting that lead to a lot of dudes getting these false accusations levied against them. Open bar.
Yes. Oh my God.
Don't fall for it, dudes. That's drink right. At home. Even if it's not cheap, it's still cheaper.
That's right.
Because the fucking you get is never worth the fucking you're going to get.
No, no. You never want to have any of your subordinates ever see you drunk or especially sloppy drunk.
Yes.
You never want that.
Build strong, trustworthy mentors, both men and women. Seek out senior personnel, both male and female, who have a reputation for fairness, integrity, and sound judgment. Cultivate relationships with individuals who can offer advice, guidance, and advocacy if needed. These mentors provide perspective, help you navigate complex situations, and offer crucial support if you face challenges. My CSM was my savior. Having such a mentor is invaluable.
I couldn't have said it better.
And usually you're not going to find those among West Pointers, just so we're clear.
Nope.
You got to actually talk to the people who worked their way up through the ranks and didn't get it awarded to them just because they had previous experience that was deemed desirable by a bunch of bean-counting box checkers.
You mean they sew a mattress to their back? That never happens.
A little bit, yeah. Understand the accusation process and its potential biases. Familiarize yourself with the military's procedures for handling complaints and accusations. Be aware that in certain situations there can be an inherent bias or a rush to judgment, especially in cases involving gender dynamics. Know your rights and be prepared to defend yourself if necessary. There you go.
Yep.
Seek external counsel if needed. If you find yourself facing serious accusations or a hostile work environment, don't hesitate to seek legal counsel or advice from advocacy groups that understand military law and regulations. Having external support can be critical in navigating complex situations and protecting your career.
Yeah, you show up with a counselor, it turns everything up to 11.
That's just like when you got called in for some BS and you had the log and the nanny cam footage, and all of a sudden, what was a 10 on the danger scale just got rounded back to about a 3.
Yeah, and then I turned it all around on them and I fucking nuked them all.
Women in the military, some of them get into it because it's a family trade and they genuinely want to be a part of it. Others...
free daycare.
Yeah.
Free medical and a paycheck.
Free access to upper tier Kiaka.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's the same reason women used to go to college.
Say my name, then. Wait, what's my name?
Consider specialized career paths, if possible. While this may not be feasible for everyone, my experience highlights the potential benefits of seeking out career paths within the military that are more focused on objective performance and less on subjective interpersonal dynamics. Special operations forces, certain technical fields, or roles where competence and measurable results are paramount can offer a more meritocratic and less politically charged environment.
That's absolutely correct.
Oh,
you can easily track a lot of that stuff.
Yep. And if you're in the private sector, the alternate course in this would be start your own business. Because if you go and work for the man, guess what? The man could be taking money behind the scenes from BlackRock, Vanguard. You have no idea what their ESG score is or how their wantingness to get at taxpayer dollars easily could fuck you in the ass at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
So be your own boss.
Preferably that's it. And then you can control the culture.
Prioritize your mental and emotional well-being. This is just good advice in general. Dealing with a toxic work environment and false accusations can be incredibly stressful and damaging to your mental health. Seek support from trusted friends, family, or mental health professionals.
Heavy bag.
Yes. Hit shit. Don't bottle up your emotions or try to tough it out alone. Protecting your well-being is paramount. And that last one right there, yeah, that's if you bottle it up and you try to tough it out alone, that is the first step on the very bumpy road to taking the permanent solution to the temporary problem. You're not alone, and never make the mistake in thinking that you are or that the circumstances that are bringing down your self-esteem are unique, because chances are somebody's been through it, got through it, and probably won.
Yeah, they're stronger for it, and they can share those lessons with you. That's exactly what I do.
There's a lot of people out there who live in the past because they want to look back on things that they could have done differently. And the fact of the matter is that whatever you did, whatever you fucked up, helped make you who you are.
That's right.
There's nothing there that needs fixing. My experiences in the Army were a crucible, a trial by fire that almost consumed me. Cunt-sumed you. Just gonna put that little edit in there for you. While I ultimately found a path to redemption and success, the scars remain. I share this story not to foster negativity or division, but as a stark warning and a practical guide.
Yeah!
The military, despite its ideals, is still a human institution, susceptible to the same flaws and biases that exist in society at large. By understanding these potential pitfalls, by being proactive in protecting ourselves, and by supporting each other, we can navigate these complexities and strive for a more equitable and just experience for all those who serve. My hope is that by sharing my horror story, I can help other men avoid a similar fate and ensure they can serve their country with dignity, purpose, and the protection they deserve. Number 560 here. I hope you have read this in a full video. Your wish is our command. I know as I wrote it that it repeats a lot of the same what's been said many times in your videos, but I still hope it is worth sharing. And I am profoundly honored to be in Pop's regiment. Signed, Redacted. We get a lot of letters from Redacted.
Yeah, Redacted is one hell of a writer.
Redacted's a good dude. I hear that he gets a lot of poon, too.
Yeah.
Doesn't want his wife to know, but he gets a lot of poon.
Dial 911. Tell the police to get up here quick. Somebody's about to get killed.
Well, I'm just going to be honest. Like, this story, I've heard many just like it with the same fucking variables. Character assassination. Using feelings as evidence. You know, if you're going to, like, try to wreck somebody's life, you should have evidence. Meaning that they fucking actually did the shit you're trying to destroy them for. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of guys out there that do some fucked up shit.
Absolutely. We're all capable of some evil, hairless monkey shit.
And I've seen it. And I've put my hands on people for it. Like when I was working on long-term orders for the recruiters, and this one guy was banging all these females before they came in.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I fucking judo flipped his ass right in the parking lot and put my foot on his fucking neck.
I judo flipped your ass!
Yeah. I got a call from the sergeant major because, you know, he frowned upon, you know, his personnel getting judo flipped in the parking lot. And then I had to explain to him exactly what was going on, and that dude got sent somewhere else. I don't know what happened to him.
He got sent for re-education.
What the hell are you smiling at?
If women could actually do everything that we can do, as well as we can do it, no matter the system, if it is meritocratic, tactics like this would not be necessary.
Correct. That you would have no foothold.
They are an admission of an inferiority complex that is 1,000% their own fault because they were stupid enough to drink the Kool-Aid.
Yeah. In fact, a lot of the female soldiers that I served with that were any good had brothers. So that they knew how the men think, act, speak, stuff like that.
Like the Sergeant Gazowitzes of the world. God rest her soul.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me about her, saying she was a damn good soldier.
Yeah,
so this is not a woman bashing thing, okay? We're not bashing on all women. It's the women who drink the Kool-Aid, believe a lie, and yet instead of understanding, hey, you know what? I might have fucked up. They want to point fingers and blame the rest of the world for not conforming to what is, at the end of the day, a fantasy.
And another thing about the military is if you fuck up and you own up to it immediately, you get a hell of a lot more forgiveness. I can't tell you how many times I've been called to the carpet and I walk right in there and go, sir, I fucked up.
I fucked up, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I'm sorry, I fucked up. I made a judgment call. It didn't work out. Mm-hmm. It goes from a 12 to like a 4.
I said this to my wife the other day and she said, unquestionably, we need to put this on a shirt. Blame is the antidote to growth.
We need to fucking put that on a shirt. That is actually really good.
It's the truth.
It is.
And yet, when you look around at modernity, at the modern Western culture, which used to idealize individuality and accountability, it's been replaced by collectivist think and blame and shame. And that is not how a society thrives. That's how a society dies.
And we're in a long-term downward spiral of a dead fucking empire.
Now, unlike your dad, it's not too late to pull out. okay? You're already here. That's why you're watching this video, okay?
Yeah. And your mom is a whore.
Yes. We can pull out of this death spiral, but you can't be afraid to tell the truth just because these bitches might screech at you.
That's right. That's why you need to share this channel with every dude you know.
You're damn right. It's so easy to just say that you want to be left alone while the world is falling apart around you. It's the meme where the dog is in the burning house. This is fine. All right.
This is bad.
I can respect wanting to be left alone and wanting to live your life, but sooner or later, I mean, if you're just getting mortared 24/7, 365, and you think it's not a big deal because it's off in the distance, well...
Sooner or later, you're going to be on the X.
Those mortars are getting a little bit closer every day.
That's right.
And that lifestyle that you've become accustomed to, well, a man's not going to be able to keep providing it for you after a divorce because there's not going to be a court system left to give it to you.
It's proof that Jesus died in vain and legally changed his middle name to fucking!
And it's because of that that videos like this and webinars like Administrative Violence and the Working Man's Survival Guide are, it's not only why they exist, it's why they're necessary. And if you guys want to help us out, QR codes are on the screen. It only costs $5 a month to become a member of the regiment. And it's worth it because we watch movies on Sundays and have a good time.
And you got a lot of you guys that contribute to the actual pop culture videos.
Hell yeah.
The whiteboard videos. A lot of you came up with some good terms I use on a regular basis on the show.
Yeah, apparently the blackboard was too racist, so we have to have a whiteboard in the house,
yes,
too.
Yeah, well, yeah, what are you going to do? he hates filming on the whiteboard.
Some white supreme pizza in my ass. Hope you all enjoyed this video, and if you have stories of your own that you would like to share, send them on over to us. They may or may not get a full video, but it is the thought that counts.
Amen.
Indie women.
Stop it, that's gay.